Just before midnight, I set off to walk back to the club. My route was the old one, but this corner of London had changed a good deal. Fleet Street no longer housed the hot metal presses, and many of the old alleys and courts had long gone, most of them bobbed to smithereens by the Blitz. Once or twice, I took a wrong turn and ended up among new buildings I didn't recognize. At one point, I retracted my steps for 100 yards, and suddenly I was thrown back in time. I realized that the old printer's Devil's Court, where I had lodged, had been laid waste, and that the hospital club was now sited on part of the same ground. I thought little of it. Printer's Devil Court had no special memories for me, other than those last peculiar and unpleasant ones. I was about to turn into the club when I noticed that there was still a passageway to one side and saw the Tower of St. Luke's at the gate rising up ahead of me in the fitful moonlight. I stood stock still. London churches are always a fine sight, and I was glad that this one, with a surprising number of others, had escaped destruction. The passageway ended at the back of the old graveyard, as before, and that seemed unchanged. The tombstone still leaning this way, and that and even more thickly covered in moss. And then I saw her. She was a few yards away from me, moving among the graves, pausing here and there to bend over and peer, as if trying to come out of the entire shadow before moving on again. She wore a garment of a pale silvery gray that I could hardly notice with absolute clarity. It seemed like a strangely gauge-like, and her long hair was loose and free. She had her back to me. I was troubled to see a young woman wandering here at the time of night, and started towards her to offer to escort her away. She must have heard me because she turned, and I was startled by her beauty, her pallor, and even more, and by the expression of distress on her face. She came forward towards me quickly, holding out her hand and seeing him about to plead with me. But as she drew near, I noticed a curious blank and glassy look in her eyes, and a coldness increased around me, more intense than that of the night alone. I waited. The nearer she came, the greater the cold, but I did not. Why should I link it in any way to the young woman? But simply to the effects of standing still in this place where sunlight rarely penetrated, in which had a dankness that came from the very stones and from the cold ground. "Are you unwell?" I asked. "You should not be here alone at this time of night. Let me see you safely to your home." She appeared puzzled by my voice, and her body trembled beneath the pale clothes. "You will catch your death of cold." She stretched out and both her hands to me, but I shrank back, unaccountably loath to take them. Her eyes had the same staring and yet vacant look now that she was close to me. But she was fully alive and breathing, and had no reason to fear.